Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting in this third week of August, 2025. Thank you for joining me on this week's Religious Liberty News Briefing. The Religious Liberty Report, we are a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. So this briefing is intended to help equip churches, people of faith, equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, so we may better understand and articulate our Christian worldview. Articulate it in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold and uncompromising, committed to God's Word always as our guide. The idea is to not win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. Turning to page one on the report in this third week of August, 2025. The American revolutionary Patrick Henry once wrote, "Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom." Patrick Henry, American revolutionary. The First Amendment protects against viewpoint discrimination. Viewpoint discrimination under the First Amendment occurs when the government regulates speech based on the particular ideas or perspectives that the speech communicates. This is considered a severe form of content-based regulation. This type of discrimination, viewpoint discrimination, is generally unconstitutional and must satisfy a strict scrutiny test, which requires the government to prove that the restriction serves a compelling interest through the narrowest possible means. Viewpoint discrimination. Contrary to the belief of some activists, religious liberty is not an exception. You don't need the government's permission to have religious liberty. In fact, religious liberty is the default assumption of our entire system. Because religious liberty is the fundamental rule in American life. In 2022, in a 9-0 unanimous U.S. Supreme Court decision in the case of Shurtleff versus City of Boston, the High Court ruled that government entities may not discriminate against religious viewpoints. Shurtleff versus City of Boston. The Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment disallows the government from engaging in impermissible viewpoint discrimination. When it is not speaking for itself, the government may not exclude speech based on religious viewpoint. In the Shurtleff case, Boston, the City of Boston's refusal to allow Shurtleff and Camp Constitution to raise their flag based on religious viewpoint violated the First Amendment. 9-0. Shurtleff versus City of Boston in 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court getting it exactly right. In Acts chapter 4, in our New Testament, we read how after throwing Peter and John in jail for teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead, the Sanhedrin, the government of the time, demanded that they not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. To this, Peter replied, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Throughout history, Christians have faced demands to be silent, throughout history, they have refused. The word martyr, in fact, is derived from the Greek word meaning witness. Turning to page 2 of the report in this third week of August, 2025. James Dobson, Christian psychologist and founder of Focus on the Family, dies at age 89. James Dobson, the evangelical Christian psychologist who rose to national prominence through promoting parental discipline and conservative values, has died at age 89. Dobson founded Focus on the Family and spent many years there leading the ministry. He will be remembered as a man of tremendous faith and courage who helped make the Christian conservative movement a major force in government. Turning the page on the report, 3I Atlas, also known as C2025N1, is an interstellar comet discovered by the Asteroid Terrestrial Impact Last Alert System station located in Rio Hurtado, Chile. Discovered on July 1st, 2025, when it was first viewed through this telescope of sorts. When it was discovered, it was seen entering the inner solar system. The space rock 3I Atlas, only the third confirmed interstellar object discovered by astronomers. While astronomers are still collecting data, they think it originated from the Milky Way's inner core. If so, it may be, according to these scientists, as old as 7 billion years. A couple billion, according to these scientists, older than our entire solar system. Its path, 3I Atlas, this interstellar object that's traversing through our solar system, our inner solar system, its path through space will take it between the orbits of Earth and Mars before it heads back out toward interstellar space again. This object, or asteroid, gets its name from a combination of its place in astronomical history, 3I being short for Third Interstellar, and the Atlas Telescope, which made the discovery in Chile, South America. Astronomers know that it's interstellar because its trajectory puts it on a hyperbolic orbit, which will send it back into deep space after a close pass through the inner solar system towards the end of this year. This comet, or asteroid, or interstellar object is traveling within 5 degrees of the ecliptic plane, this imaginary plane upon which the Earth and most of the solar system spin. And it will pass relatively close to Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. It's that same trajectory that one astronomer, Avi Loeb, says may be evidence of alien technology, leading some to remark, humans now have approximately 100 days until this, quote, alien comet that Harvard scientists believe could be an alien ship before it arrives to Earth, which could hold a threat for every human alive, according to Professor Avi Loeb. According to Loeb, this alleged alien ship will arrive before December 5th, 2025. Which leads us to physicist Enrico Fermi, who in 1950 went to lunch and posed one of the biggest unanswered questions in the history of astronomy. Where is everyone? If there are so many stars and so many worlds with so many opportunities for life to arise, why are we seemingly alone in the cosmos? With what is calculated to be 14 billion years of universe history, it feels like the sky should be filled with spacefarers, radio signals, and probes. In spite of all of this, there are no apparent signs of life. Just yet. Turning to page 5 on the Religious Liberty Report. This third week of August, 2025. The end of materialism. Modern science has long operated within a framework of philosophical materialism, asserting that reality is entirely derived from physical matter and its interactions. However, scientific discoveries in recent years, such as phenomena in quantum physics, near-death experiences, and consciousness studies, challenge the notion that all aspects of existence can be solely explained by material processes. Increasingly, there seems to be evidence for what they call non-local events, mind-matter interactions, and other anomalous experiences, suggesting that reality may extend beyond material boundaries. These breakthroughs signal that the end of strict materialism could be near, as science is forced to reconsider and expand its models to embrace a deeper, possibly immaterial dimensions of reality. Psychic phenomena is one example. What are psychic phenomena, you may ask? Well, they've been referred to as the Big Five. Telepathy, clairvoyance, precognition, psychokinesis, and psychic healing. The Big Five. Mind-to-mind communication, predicting the future, out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, allegedly experienced by millions of people due to advances in medical resuscitation technologies. We've had, for several centuries now, scientific materialism as the dominant belief system. Some would say a rigid belief system, rigid materialism that gives no room for other non-material explanations. The scientific method, the scientific process has become a dominant philosophy to explain and understand our world, our reality. It's a philosophical materialism where illness or death were previously linked to evil spirits. Science has shown us what germ theory of disease is to illness. There is, however, an emerging dualism, giving room for non-materialistic explanations for certain events or experiences, certain phenomena. The basic idea of telepathy, for example. The basic idea of telepathy, for example, is that one person's mind can receive or transmit information to another person's mind by extrasensory means. Clairvoyance, also known as remote viewing, is the supposed faculty of perceiving events remotely or from a distance, sometimes referred to as remote sensing. Precognition, another form of extrasensory perception, defined as the successful prediction of future events, when such events could not rationally be predicted from knowledge or current conditions. Psychokinesis, or telekinesis, the ability of the mind to move physical objects without any known physical mechanisms, indirectly, just with the mind. The supposed ability to move physical objects by mental effort alone. really, we've seen this before. In the 19th century, seances became a remarkable phenomenon. Throughout the UK and Europe, psychic healing, another example, laying on of hands as a technique for healing. And of course, out-of-body experiences. Some parapsychologists allege that there is something definitely perverse about these phenomena. They call them psi phenomena, P-S-I. That they're perverse in the sense that we're being teased by them so that we can witness the phenomena, these anomalies, and sometimes even test them. But they remain sufficiently uncertain and unprovable. In the late 1800s, early 20th century, spiritualists, mediums, seances became a fad. One such British spiritualist was known for her sensational seances, inviting celebrities, featuring materializations out of nothing of objects, flowers many times, that would appear mysteriously in the room. Levitations, supernatural materializations, sounds, movements. Nothing new. We've seen this before. We see it in Scripture. In Matthew 24, verse 24, we read, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise, performing great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." In Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14, we read that the beast that performs great signs will be deceiving those who dwell on the earth. As Christians, we're encouraged to seek wisdom through the Holy Spirit to measure every experience against biblical truth, resisting sensationalism and spiritual distractions. As paranormal reports grow and become increasingly more common, believers must remain rooted in Christ, recognizing that deception often hides behind the spectacular, to challenge, confuse, even corrupt the faithful. In recent years, some Christian denominations have fallen for this, have shown a growing attraction to supernatural manifestations, such as healings, prophecies, visions, speaking in tongues, or glory clouds, gold dust experiences. These phenomena are often interpreted as signs of divine favor, or the presence of the Holy Spirit. While seeking spiritual gifts is biblically supported, we can read this in 1 Corinthians 12, the intense focus on visible dramatic signs present spiritual risks. This unhealthy appetite for supernatural experiences may lead some believers to prioritize emotional encounters, external phenomena over sound, biblical doctrine, discernment, and a progressive transformation of character in the spirit. When we continuously seek miracles, experiences without discernment, testing their origin, we risk confusing psychological or occult phenomena for the Holy Spirit. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report in this third week of August, 2025, talking about an unhealthy appetite for supernatural experiences. Brothers and sisters, this is not to say that God does not perform miracles today. but we should be careful to distinguish between God performing miracles and men performing supposed miracles. We should pay special attention to the fact that in Scripture, there appear to be only three periods in biblical history where the Bible records extensive miracles. Concentration of miracles. First, the era of Moses and Joshua, centering on the Exodus, the conquest of the Promised Land. Miracles such as the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, water from the rock, and the fall of Jericho, all showcase God's power in leading Israel out of Egypt, affirming Moses' prophetic authority and verifying God's direct intervention in delivering his people and giving them the law. Second, the era of Elijah and Elisha, occurring during the time of the divided kingdom when Israel was in deep spiritual crisis. This period features miracles performed by both prophets Elijah and his protege Elisha. We see fire falling on Mount Carmel, the raising of dead, the multiplying of food, miraculous healings, and other supernatural events like the parting of the Jordan River. Again, miracles given to validate the prophet's message, confronting idolatry and calling Israel back to faithfulness in a time of apostasy. And number three, the third era of concentration of miracles in the Bible we find with Christ and the apostles, marking the coming of the Messiah and the birth of his church. This period included Jesus' miracles, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, controlling nature, as well as those miracles performed by his apostles. This time, miracles serving to reveal Christ's divine nature, establishing the authority of his teachings and confirming the new covenant. Signs and wonders among the apostles continued the witness as the gospel spread and was authenticated. Talking about these cluster periods of miracles in the Bible, showing that miracles were not continuous or even commonplace, but rather special affirmations of God's messages, interventions, and authority in church history. So let's see. Here we are on the Religious Liberty Report discussing deep space interstellar objects entering our inner solar system. The Big Five, telepathy, clairvoyance, precognition, telekinesis, and psychic or faith healing. Near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences. Scripture's warnings against deceiving signs and wonders. Miracles in the Old and New Testaments, three clusters of miracles with Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, and Jesus and the apostles. We also have been discussing how there's a danger of overemphasizing the supernatural and how this is happening even in some churches, placing priority on experience, supernatural phenomenon, rather than discernment in the Holy Spirit. And now let's talk about the Nephilim. No good discussion of the paranormal is complete without a reference to the Nephilim of Genesis 6. So who are the Nephilim? A Hebrew word. Some saying that it refers to the fallen ones. The mysterious beings referenced in Genesis chapter 6. The Nephilim, product of the sons of God mingling with the daughters of Adam. The great biblical giants, the fallen ones, sometimes referred to as the Rephaim, the dead ones. These descriptions are all applied to one group of characters found in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. Who are these Nephilim, these Rephaim? They appear in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Nephilim, these fallen ones, the product of divine beings, the sons of God, coming into human women, the daughters of Adam. The Nephilim are known as great warriors, biblical giants, in Ezekiel chapter 32 and Numbers chapter 13. The coming together of these so-called sons of God and the daughters of Adam, resulting in Nephilim. Many biblical scholars linking them to the flood as causing the flood. This was believed because the next verse, after they're introduced in Genesis 6, 4, in 5, we read the beginning of the flood narrative. Many Christian and biblical scholars have connected the Nephilim to present-day spirits and demons. According to traditions found in the Book of Enoch, the Nephilim's physical bodies perished in the flood, but their disembodied spirits became wandering spirits, wandering entities, unclean spirits or demons that still roam the earth today, sowing deception and spiritual chaos. This view suggests that modern-day paranormal phenomenon and hauntings may be manifestations of these Nephilim spirits. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report in this third week of August 2025. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report as we reviewed some unusual, unconventional topics. If I've offended some of you, I'm sorry, that was not my intention. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, a faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude, verse 3. Scripture warns us that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, teaching us that not all, or even most, supernatural encounters are of God, and many are designed to mislead or sow confusion within the church. Until next time, your host and friend, Alexander Alfano, signing off, reminding you that if you missed this report on Live Christian Radio, you can always catch it on your favorite podcatcher. Simply search for The Religious Liberty Report. All our past episodes are archived for your review. Until next time, God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.